If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, I was on Almanac, you know, doing my monologue, which I do about once monthly, over at TPT, downtown St. Paul, with Kathy Werzer and Eric Escala and so many fine journalism professionals. Carrie Kennedy, who is the executive producer of the show. And, you know, I struggled all week coming up with a topic. I couldn't find anything. I was looking through the newspaper. I was listening to other people's shows. I was, you know, just kind of looking around in the neighborhood newspapers and just trying to pick up on something, trying to talk to people and saying, hey, did you hear anything funny today? Anything, you know, that caught your eye that you read or saw in the news or somebody told you about that might be funny for me to do on Almanac? And nobody could think of anything. And thank God my friend Scott Libet, my fellow University of Minnesota journalism school professor, asked me to go to lunch over at Pat McGovern's on Friday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. And I said, well, what's going on, Scott? I got to come up with an almanac. And he gave me the greatest idea, and I invited him on the show to talk about it. So Scott Libet is joining us, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Scott.
Hey, happy Saturday, Shaletta. It sounds like you're having a great one.
I am having such a great time, and it's just beautiful weather. You know, I'm just grateful that, you know, I don't need snow boots, and we were able to have our little lock giveaway outside with the kids, and they were running around, and ice cream truck and balloon animals came. We didn't have to go inside. Nobody had, you know, got wet. It's just a beautiful day. These days put you in a whole different mood. I'm not even mad at Chet Harmon right now, which is rare. So, I mean, it must be a beautiful day.
I'm glad you found a way to take a really sad story and turn it into something meaningful, and it sounds like something fun for everybody out there, too.
Yeah, and, you know, we make lemonade out of lemons. That's just what we do. You know, we could sit around and be sad and grieve, and we're going to do some of that, too. But, you know, at some point, we got to get up and say, how can we make sure that nobody else's child dies? How can we make sure that the next child is safe and protected? And so that's what these lock giveaways are all about. And then also bringing these autism moms and dads and grandparents out in community with other people like them so they don't feel so alone and isolated. Because having a child with special needs can sometimes feel alone, Scott. You don't think anybody understands you. You know, you don't want to go anywhere because, you know, your child is going to be an inconvenience to other people. So you stay at home, and the more you do that, the more alone you are. And so, you know, these events for me is not just about giving away the locks and honoring a child who died, but also, you know, just building some community and letting these people know that they are not alone.
Well, and I so appreciate that. You know, for those of us who don't know autism as well as you do, we want to do the right thing. You were kind enough over our lunch together to give me some advice on dealing with students who are on the spectrum. And I'm so grateful for that, because it's not always intuitive. We don't always know what each child needs. But I really appreciate the insight you shared.
Well, I have to say I appreciate you, because I don't know what I would have talked about on Almanac had we not gone to lunch on Thursday. And this is how God works, because we were supposed to go to lunch two other times and didn't. One time you had something to do, the next time I had something to do. So it all worked out this week, and it was divine, because you know, I knew Friday, yesterday, I was going to have an almanac. Folks are counting on me to be funny, and I couldn't come up with anything.
You know, I kind of doubt that. I have a feeling you would have come up with something, but somehow we got on the topic of Governor Walz and his vice presidential candidacy and the treatment of it by Saturday Night Live last week, right?
Yes. And, you know, you brought up an amazing point, is that while they did mention Menards to make it seem authentic, they had the rebate numbers off, right?
Right. It's funny. I have a big intro class. You know, you've spoken to it and you're coming back to speak again this fall. Mm-hmm. There are about 250 students in this class. And we talk about media in a changing world. And we've talked about advertising. And I said, you know, how many of you seen this opening skit from this past weekend's SNL? And a number of them had, more than have watched the news, probably. And I said, how about that line that, you know, he said, Jim Gaffigan, playing Governor Walz, said, I haven't been this excited since I got a 10% rebate on a leaf blower at Menards. And I said, what's wrong with that? And 200 students spoke up and said, it's 11%. Everybody knows it's 11%, right? And I said, now, don't tell me that advertising doesn't work, right? Why do you know it's 11%? And it was really an interesting sort of pop culture moment. But yes, one of those things that shows you that the rest of the country doesn't have all the insight in the world into Minnesota. And you mentioned, you know, maybe that's worth some conversation. Maybe there's something funny and revealing about that.
Well, you know, and I thought, okay, the skit was quick. And I've got to get 90 seconds out of this. That Menards bit ain't going to get it. I was like, Scott, I need like two or three more things. What else in the skit did you see? I'm like texting you and emailing you at like 3 a.m. I'm like, wake up. What else?
For the record, I wasn't responding at that hour.
He was not.
The other thing I think I suggested to you, again, I thought it was funny, but, you know, where Gaffigan opens up his sport coat and says, I got this suit at Costco. And I said, gee, that would have been funnier if he'd said Fleet Farm.
And I stole that joke. I snatched it from you. I snatched it out of your esophagus.
It's not theft, with permission. You took
it's
it.
Workshop. It's workshopping. It it's workshopping.
Yeah, you had. Yeah, there you go. That's the verb we need. We were workshopping.
We were workshopping.
It was kind of fun to be behind the scenes with you on that.
I was like, yes, Mills Fleet Farm, this is great. And I was like, I need one more thing. We got to come up with something because, you know, I just can't do it. I had like 45 seconds. I still needed another 45 seconds. And so I started, thinking about the fact that, you know, he tried to make it seem like we don't pay our teachers in Minnesota. I was like, wait a minute.
Right. That's something a little bit more serious and substantial that you managed to work into your comedy shtick, which I thought was kind of nice. You gave a little shout out to Education Minnesota for
yes.
the relative treatment of teachers in our state. I got to say, though, for the record and to your audience, I'm not sure you are acquainted with or have ever even encountered dead air. You say you had to fill time. I had no doubt you would fill the time.
But I wanted to make it funny. I wanted it to pop. I wanted it to, you know, I didn't want to dwell too much on the Menards because that was a, you know, about 20 seconds. And the Mills Fleet Farm joke about the suits, that was good. So I snatched that out of your throat. And then I needed two more things. So I said, okay, we'll do the teachers, you know, because, you know, Louise Melvin and you know, my friend Charlotte, who is listening, by the way, with some of her friends and her daughter, Kylie, she is an educator. And, you know, You know, I've lived in other states, as have you, being in broadcasting. We move around, jump from market to market. And I'm going to just tell you, I have never had better, more informed, more educated, more trained, and more caring teachers than I have had in Minnesota. And so I wanted to make sure that we, you know, hit back on that one. You know, because, you know, we take care of our teachers.
You talking about Chris's wife, Louise?
Oh, I'm talking about Chris and Louise Melvin, my Minnesota mama and daddy. They take good care of me and my kids. Yes, yes. Yep. So you know, I wanted to hit back at that. And then when I watched the skit, because I hadn't seen the whole thing until after you and I talked. And so when I watched the whole skit at the end, they had Tim Walz doing something that looked like the Macarena. Right. And
right.
I remembered at that moment that my sister had video of me and Tim Walz doing the bump at some event. And I was like, girl, get me that video because I'm going to work this in with my monologue. And so I said, you know, Tim Walz, they had Tim Walz doing the Macarena when we all know his preferred dance of choice is the bump. And then I, you know, I went into that video. So it turned out great.
Yeah, it did. I loved the way you played to the video in that monitor. It came up right when it should have. You didn't issue any sort of warning that we were going to see video. We might find troubling, but it was it was wonderful. See, you got to hang on to those special pieces of video. You never know when you're going to need something like that.
You never know when you're going to need something. And anybody who has ever dealt with a reporter, if you go to their desk, if they're an old school good reporter, they got notepads from 1975. They've got old video. They've got old tapes and audio from interviews. We don't get rid of nothing. We do not, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Well, I'm impressed that you found it, because you're right. In the old days, it would have been piles of actual cassette tapes on somebody's desk. And now it's all digital. And you know it's out there, but you don't know where it is all the time.
You don't know where it is. And we got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I threw in an opportunity for me to shoot my shot. What am I trying to do? I'll tell you all about it next. After last night's almanac, I may be changing jobs. I may be changing cities. I may be changing, you know, a lot, because there's a problem. Saturday Night Live has a problem. Okay. And I may have the solution. Now, they are doing skits on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. They're using Jim Gaffigan with the amazing Maya Rudolph, who plays Kamala Harris. And if they're going to keep telling these Big Dad energy jokes, they're going to need some Minnesota comedy writers, because as my friend Scott Libin and I have been discussing on this show, they kind of get it right, but not really. I mean, they didn't have any You Betchas. They didn't have any Oofters. They didn't talk about Lutefisk. They had the wrong percentage when it comes to Menards rebates. They didn't mention Mills Fleet Farm. So, you know, I believe, Scott, that last night was my opportunity to shoot my shot, and I did that. So just in case the folks at Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels and his team, are watching Kathy and Eric on Almanac, they will see my monologue, because I'm like, you need to hire me. Saturday Night Live, if they're going to continue this, they need to hire a Minnesota comedy writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were characteristically subtle in your appeal. I think probably the message got across that not only do you have the solution, but you are the solution, I believe, mm-hmm. is what you said.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Houston, you know, you have a problem. Houston, I am the answer. Mm-hmm.
There you go. I don't think we talked about this over lunch, but, you know, Stephen Colbert does have a couple of Minnesota comedy writers. He brought them out once a couple of weeks ago, and they were kind of, this is shortly after Walz was named as the running mate, and they actually kind of schooled him on Minnesota culture, because, you know, they were steeped in it. They grew up in it. They know, unlike most of the country, that, for example, Fargo is not in Minnesota. They, you know, they brought out Hot Dish. They brought out Bars. You know, have some Bars. It was great, but clearly Saturday Night Live does not have that resource.
No, they do not. They do not, because somebody would have came in the room and said 10% at Menards. What are y'all talking about? It's 11% rebate. What are y'all doing? No, this is all wrong. Yeah, they need me. They need me. They need me, Scott. And I'm going to make myself available. I am opening up all my DMs. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to list my phone number. It was once unlisted. It has been listed. And I am answering all anonymous calls. I'm answering all anonymous calls.
Mm-hmm. You are a giver. I mean, it is good of you to make yourself available because, you know, America needs this insight now, right?
Yes, yes. And if they're going to keep doing these jokes, they're going to have to get them right. They're going to have to get them right. And we are not flyover country. You know, I'm so tired of that. These people in New York and L.A., they think they know, about us. Look, unless you're going to call the Cohen brothers or me, you need to get you some good, wholesome Minnesota writers, because you're going to have to do a Lutefisk episode. You're going to have to do a hot dish episode. You're going to have to get your bars on. So, I think that I should just start packing out, Scott, because at some point the phone's going to ring. Lauren Michaels is going to be like, hey, Shaletta, can you hop on a flight and get to New York so that, you know, you can write these next few skits for us? And I'm going to be like, sure. And then, you know, that way I don't have to go back on the Chad Harper show. I don't have to do it if I don't want to at that point.
Well,
you know,
it's comforting to me, and I'm sure I speak for all Minnesotans when I say this, comforting to me to know that you stand ready to take that call when it comes.
I'm just trying to serve my country. I'm just trying to do what I can for the calls. Now,
with humility.
Yes, of course. Now, you know, you teach at the Hubbard School at the University of Minnesota. You have also been in this business as a news director at KSTP and a professor at the Poynter Institute for Journalists. And, you know, Boyd Hooper's teaching classes. You teaching Boyd Hooper. That's you know, I just want to let y'all know who we talking to. So I want to talk to you about the state of journalism, because at the Democratic National Convention, some of the journalists I spoke with were upset because they had to share space with influencers. Journalists are also upset because Tim Walz and so many other politicians are bypassing the sit-down interviews with the major networks in favor of talking to podcasters. Where are we? What the hell is going on?
How much time do you have, by the way? I never claim to have taught Boyd Hooper anything, but I've learned a lot from him. let me just say, it's a changing world, right? That's the name of my intro course, Media in a Changing World. I mean, it doesn't work exactly the way it once did. And there is a difference, and an important difference, between being an influencer and being an independent journalist. I think it's more critical than ever that people recognize the kind of content they're consuming. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with other genres, right? But most influencers are influenced by payments they receive, and in many cases, from the products that they endorse. We need to understand what makes a journalist a journalist, the concept of editorial independence and of ethical decision making. And I'm not saying the craft is perfect. It never has been. But I think, look, as far as local journalists go and the preference of some candidates for them, here's the deal. Over years now, nationwide research has shown that the most trusted journalists to, you know, all of the, not everybody, but to people in general in this country are local. And guess mm-hmm. what? They're on television. People have relationships. Sometimes they're parasocial relationships, but they recognize that these are journalists who live among them and care about the community. And maybe they, you know, they move around, as you suggested. But local journalists make a big difference, regardless of medium. And I think it's appropriate that politicians recognize that.
And I just think, and you can chime in on this, is that journalism has to change. Broadcasting has to change. If we are going to keep up and be the messenger we can't still be using the old archaic way of doing things. I remember when, you know, my friend and reporter Danner Evans broke a story on Twitter. I wanted to get her fired. I was like, she's telling everybody where she is. She can't do that. Nobody's at the scene. We have the exclusive. And, you know, I didn't realize at that moment the importance that social media plays, especially for young people, in getting them their news and information.
Well, I won't quarrel with that. That's for sure. I mean, and journalism needs to change. It has changed, and it continues to change. What I want people to understand is that X or Instagram or TikTok, these are not news organizations. They are platforms. They're channels. They carry a lot of content, some of which may be actual journalism. But Instagram does not have a correspondent in Lebanon or Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? You need to know where, and I ask my students this all the time. You got it from your phone. Well, where'd your phone go? Oh, well, that came from X. Okay, but who put it on X? Right. It matters whether it was a reporter for the New York Times or some guy sitting in his basement making stuff up. It matters where that news originated. And that's, you know, so whether you get it through social media or some old fashioned device like a television set, you need to know who gathered that and who produced it.
Yeah, and that is so important. Well, I thank you for producing good journalism students. I thank you for helping me to produce my almanac monologue last night, which we all hope that it will produce a job for me as a comedy writer on Saturday Night Live. That's the hope.
Yeah, but don't leave until you've come back and spoken to my class as you promised you would this semester.
I'm going to act like I don't know none of y'all. I'm going to block everybody. You know me. You know how I roll.
I do know you. Whether you deny it or not, I do know you.
Thank you, Scott Levin, for being on the show. You all stick around. We've got more to come.